book, Encyclopedia by Raymond Buckland, has some great definitions and things about ghosts, and so I want to share some of that with you. It says, a ghost is an apparition or vision of a spirit of a dead, of the dead. Now, I know that parapsychologists tend to like to hear you use the word apparitions more than ghost, because the word ghost has gotten so tainted with the view of certainly the media. Television and movies certainly have given us a ghoulish version of ghosts. But ghosts are found in almost all folklore, art, literature, in all nations. Throughout England, there are lots of haunted sites. They talk about all kinds of people have seen individual ghosts or have seen group hauntings, which is interesting, like armies of ghosts, where many, many people have been killed in battle. And ghosts can appear in a lot of different places. I think people tend to equate cemeteries with ghosts, but ghosts can haunt houses, castles, gardens, woods, places where they died, sites where they've died, so places alongside the road, sometimes where people have passed in accidents. So there's all kinds of places that can be haunted places. And it's interesting to me, as I was looking into studying about this a little more, that I found that the founder of the Society for Psychical Research, Frederick Myers, really defined a ghost as a manifestation of persistent personal energy or as an indication that some kind of force is being exerted after death, which in some ways is connected with a person previously known on Earth. Now, I have a little bit of problem with that because I believe animals have souls and can certainly be in spirit form too. So I think it's important to know that it's not just humans, but certainly our animals have souls and spirits, and so they can come back and visit too. It's interesting to me that things have gotten so distorted by the media. Most of what we see, unfortunately, on many, many of the TV shows are done for sensationalism. So every time you hear the word ghost, it's a frightening thing, more so than if I use the word apparition. Because if you say ghost, it's like it has it's not a malevolent thing. It's a thing that intends to hurt you. And I don't believe that's true. It's not always, a deceased person, which people witnesses. There are records of ghosts of animals, of inanimate objects such as couches and trains and planes. However, the more I've researched, I think when you see things like, there's a movie made not many years ago, Flight 109, I think it is, and it talks about this a flight that manifests that was an apparition. And it was because people had died on this flight and it kept, would appear at certain times. And they were really trying to get resolution of what went on in that flight. And so I really feel like sometimes when we talk about that, that is what they call a residual apparition. It's like the energy of that event has got caught in a cosmic loop and replays. And you'll hear them talk hopefully next week about residual energy. And it's almost like that has imprinted on the etheric energy in that place, and it's like a broken record. It kind of plays over and over. Often, that's how mediums or clairvoyants will solve murders, because you go to the place where the murder has happened, and it's like that residual energy has gotten trapped there, partly because they believe the fear of the person at the time, the adrenaline rush of the person at the time, is so strong that it's cellularly imprinted on the energy of the place. You know, because everything's energy. It's not just us. So everything around us has energy. That's why psychometry works, that you can hold an object and get information off the object. So it's interesting that these kinds of things will play out. And so sometimes you'll see when they talk about, if you see the Ghostbusters on TV or Haunted Travels on the Sci-Fi Channel, often they'll have where, a 16th century knight still is, roaming the grounds, repeating, rescuing the damsel in distress, those kinds of things, or replaying a battle. And it's really believed now through parapsychology that is a residual energy. Although I think because the science of parapsychology is still fairly new, there's so much we don't know, and we don't know how to document. And one of the things that I hope to share with you when the Ghost Whisperers come is some of that new technology that will help prove some of this and give us much, much more information about these kinds of encounters. And it's interesting to me, the more I read, it's like scientists, and I think everybody tries to explain, how does this happen? Why, you know, why ghost? What is this from? And so in some instances, it's said that the belief in ghosts grows out of the universal human need for some assurance of survival after death. Now, I don't know that that's true. I think that we all believe something, some aspect of life after death. If you read most religions, there's some belief in some form of life after death, even if it isn't, you know, that we hang around Earth, you know, if we go to heaven, it's still a form of life after death. And so it's interesting to me that there's so much yet to be learned about why spirits are manifest. So one of the things that I thought was interesting, one of my favorite movies is The Sixth Sense, where because I believe that spirit does this, I really do believe that spirit comes back to visit those, if you've lost a loved one, that they come back in some form, often to communicate with you, often to help you quit grieving, because they don't want you to be unhappy. Because, you know, the truth is they've graduated. They've gone on to a plane or dimension that is much more expanded, magnificently wonderful. And so the visitations are not necessarily a bad thing or a good thing. Sometimes I think they're just to comfort us. The other interesting thing, I think, is spirits, people who are into spiritualism, believe that, you know, passed over loved ones, angels, guides, and masters all come to help guide you. They are there to help you commune with spirit, to grow and manifest and move forward in your spiritual lessons here on Earth. And so one of the interesting things about that particular movie, The Sixth Sense, is the little kid has a problem of seeing dead people. And the psychiatrist, of course, is working through the transition of his life. And so they are helping each other, one from the unseen world, one from the seen world. In that movie, the only problem I had with that movie is the depiction that this child saw everybody in gruesome circumstances, meaning that most of the time you saw them at their moment of death. And for me, and for most mediums that I talk to, especially and most children, they don't see them in that gruesome part of their life, you know, or in those last minutes of their life. Usually what you see a spirit as is their happiest time in their life. Most of the time when you leave your body, transcend into a different dimension, you go to the happiest time in your life. You take on that form. Most of the time people don't stay in pain because that is not what the afterlife is conducive about. It's actually to make you the more of your spiritual beingness, not the less than. So most of the time you are not trapped in eternal fear. Thank God. You know, we do enough of that to ourselves while we're here. So one of the things I think is very important, and I'm often asked, is about suicides. You know, because a lot of people think, oh, you're damned and you go to purgatory and, oh my God, they're caught in repeating that gruesome act forever. That is not true. That is not true at all. They are not judged about that one moment in their life. They experience a review of what brought them to that moment, but they are not trapped in that moment. So, you know, the goal of this is not to be trapped on the earth plane, but to evolve and grow spiritually in other dimensions. Now, I think the reason many, many things go on that ghost, you know, come to here in the earth plane or stay connected to the earth plane, often it's us. I think the people that are left behind, you know, I'm guilty as anybody. When I lost my mother, it was my mom and my best friend. I was mad at the universe. And so I really, you know, probably did not do her a great service by being in such mourning that I just wanted my mom here no matter what. You know, forget all my spiritual stuff. That went out the window in my grief. That I just, you know, I was angry. I was going to deny it all. I just wanted my mother here, period, end of sentence. Figure it out, spirit, you know. And so I think that happens lots of times, and, you know, especially for people who lose children, I think we keep them coming back when they could be evolving. And certainly, even if they evolve, it doesn't mean they can't come back and wish us a happy birthday. They can't come back just to see how we're doing. They can, but we want their vibration to be lifted and to move on. So coming back to the subject is, why then do people have, you know, hauntings? And it's interesting to me that, again, I think a lot of times spirits get addicted to their life. They get addicted to what was right or wrong in their life. And they don't move on. So sometimes I think things are haunted because they have unfinished business. If you had a violent death. Sometimes I think, too, they're just addicted to their addictions here on Earth. And so they'll hang around, for example, somebody who's very angry, they will hang around a person who's angry because they feed off that energy. They're in the sort of the state of denial. And, you know, it's funny, when you talk to people about this kind of thing, people get real defensive because they think at the moment of death we give up all our addictions and we're saints. And it's not the way it works. If you had an issue here on Earth, you're still kind of working it out. You don't just pass over and be instantly enlightened and, oh, my gosh, forget all about all the stuff that you were going through down here. So there is this transition of understanding why spirits do what they do. Why are they attracted to Earth? Why are they trapped in some of these loops that we were talking about? I also think it's interesting, as I was reading, I was reading about that a lot of cultures actually believe in ancestor worship. And it's an interesting form of religion. It's an awareness of ties to your ancestors, believing that those ghosts interact with you. Like they're in some cultures, they believe they are like your grandparents, or that would be your guardians. They also believe in some of these that do ancestral worship that the ghosts gain in power on the other side, and that they have to keep appeasing them. So really, some of them actually keep altars in their homes, and you know, give offerings and stuff to their ancestors. So I think belief system has a lot to do with how you're going to view ghosts and the media. I think the media has done so much to make us terrified. One of the other shows that I thought actually had a pretty good depiction of spirit was the movie Ghost, where Patrick Swayze came back because he died early and he had unfinished business, but also where Whoopi Goldberg was portraying the medium, and where spirits were coming to kind of finish communicating, to help people move on from their grief. So that's interesting to me, how different kind of things happen. So the other thing that, you know, the illusion that people have is, and I think this is facilitated by Halloween and things, is, you know, viewed as this white apparition that nondescript sheet over something that looks like a blank, flat apparition that floats by, and I don't think that's so much what it is. From my work, really, spirit does take a form, often the form, usually of their happiest time. Certainly, if you do go to a murder scene, you're asked to as a medium to work a murder scene, you often will see, unfortunately, the things that transpired because you're trying to solve, you're asking spirit to show me what happened. What do I need to do to solve this to make you help you be at peace? So you would, in that case, probably see it, you know, the more gruesome details. That's one reason I don't like to do murders, because it takes me too long to get it out of my psyche. I think that how the conditions are, how, you know, because a lot of people ask me, how can I communicate with my loved one? I've lost my husband. I've lost my child. I want to communicate. And so if you want to have a communication with spirit or apparition and you want them to manifest in a form that you can understand, it's important to ask. Say, I want you to manifest at 10 o'clock at night. I want you to manifest in a happy form so that I want you to rustle something so I don't get, you know, have a coronary and jump out of my skin over the experience. So if you're asking to have the experience of seeing an apparition, I think it's important to, you know, set the goal and set some ideals and how it's going to do. Now, I have to tell you, spirit will always add their little twist to it because they have a sense of humor. So, I think some of the whole, you know, illusion of, you know, apparitions or ghosts looking like, you know, the sheets was because, it wasn't that long ago that, you know, you laid out your relative in the parlor, and you wrapped him up in your good sheets and put him in the ground. So, unfortunately, I think the whole sheet thing kind of came from that as well. So, we have to let some of these folkloric or these old ideals die away and start getting into what is really going on when we have a visitation, when we see an apparition. Now, I think it will be very interesting to talk to the ghost whisperer of how they seek, because I thought it was very interesting when I saw them and got to experience, that, first of all, the use of all this electronical stuff, because it is a proven, even in, you know, before the electronics, many, many people will have had an experience where the hairs raise up on their back of their necks and on their arms, and you'll say, oh, a spirit just passed through you. You have this electromagnetic energy affect you. You have phones ring, lights flashes. Many, many people have now had documentation where they have had messages on their cell phone. Many of my clients have had messages from their passed over children. One friend of mine, son was killed in an accident. She had a phone message from him, exact time of death, exact time of death that he was declared dead, that he was on his way home. And so interesting messages like that are recorded. And that's one reason that I believe the people who are investigating ghosts, the parapsychologists, have started really paying attention to EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, because now they are finding out if you go into a place that you think's haunted, you take a tape recorder, you could be having a conversation with, you know, Mary Ellen, and lo and behold, in the background, when you go to listen to it later, will be voices that, and so if you think your house is haunted or you're having an experience and you want to communicate with spirit, I tell my clients often, it's a very good idea if you've asked your, you know, you've lost somebody, especially the first week or two after they've passed, and you want to hear from them, to put the picture of your loved one in a metal frame, because they can move that with their electromagnetic energy, because metal's conducive, or to leave a recorder going at night just before you go to sleep and let it record. And often you will have voices or whispers. Sometimes you have to really have a good recorder so that you can hear it, because they're usually very low and soft. Because for the first 30 days after a soul transitions to the other sphere, their ability to use electromagnetic energy, it's like they have to go to school to understand it. It's because they've changed forms. So there's a lot they have to learn to really go forward and manifest this. So another thing I kind of want to debunk and put to rest is so many times people think the ghosts, the dead people, are hanging out in the graveyards. I have to tell you, I like to go to graveyards to hang out and talk to my mother and different things, not because she's really there, but because it's the one place you can find some peace and quiet in a busy city. The truth is, most of the time, spirits are not hanging around there. Why would they hang there? They're not using their physical body anymore. It's, you know, other than a quiet, nice, serene garden area, it's really not, they're not attached to it. You know, they're no longer attached to the physical beingness once they pass. They're more attached to the energy of their loved ones. That's more of an addiction. Now, certainly sometimes, and I have to say, when Mary Ellen went and had to have some major surgery, I found it very interesting how many spirits were hanging out at hospitals, and I'm sure hospice. And that's because people don't transcend at home anymore. 90% of the people pass in hospitals are a hospice situation. And so the spirit sometimes gets confused, and they'll go back to where their body was last, kind of trying to go, okay, my body was here, now my body's not here, like, what's going on? So they're trying to resonate in that transition time, even though they may have been met by their angels, guides, masters, and loved ones. Sometimes they go back to the place of their death because that's where their body, I mean, where their energy first left their body, so there's residue, and also because they're trying to connect with, where is my family? Where is everybody? I need to orientate myself. If you remember the first time you went to a new school, there's a few days of trying to orientate yourself. Where are my classes? Where are my rooms? I haven't quite got the hang of it. Well, it's the same thing when spirit transcends. So the first thing that I know that's going to happen is I'm going to give out the number to call in, and I'd love to hear from anybody that's had an experience of haunting and talk about the different kinds of hauntings. I do want to talk about that hauntings can be kind of scary at times, because if a person passes and has anger, they don't just give up their anger. Most of the time, they're really not out to get you. They're just out to express their anger. And that's one thing I think that the media has blown out. You know, they tend to show, you know, the chainsaw massacre thing, and where, you know, all these evil spirits are out to get you. And I really don't believe that, in my experience of my work and talking to many, many other people, occasionally you will have a poltergeist experience. It's usually enhanced by a person living in the house. They're courting to somebody's energy, and it's a permission thing. You've either given it consciously or unconsciously. So very seldom is it something that is absolutely attacking someone for no reason, or that you cannot get rid of. I know we've all seen the movie The Exorcist and some of those other things, and I can remember thinking, boy, if that priest doesn't have a chance, what about me? You know, it scared me because I saw dead people. But the truth is, if you invoke any kind of spiritual practice, the Lord's Prayer, white light, any of those things, absolutely, the thing dissipates. Now, it may take a few minutes to dissipate, which we always want, just add water, oh my God. But the truth is, you have to send intent, and I have never had an entity that I have said, you are not welcome here, you must go, ever come back and give me a problem. If they have come back, it is because there is something that I can do for that entity, and I am told by my guide what that is about. So most of the time, truly, if you have a haunting, if you have something going on, there's some kind of permission thing going on, like I said, subconsciously or unconsciously, that's going on there. Or it is a residual haunting, which we have talked about, which may be playing out, not that have nothing to do with you. It may be that energy is caught in that loop. Usually, in that kind of haunting, you might see something just, you know, like a movie being replayed. But it usually doesn't interact with you. It's usually like, oh, at 11:30 at night every Thursday, you might see, you know, the scene play out again. But usually it's not having a personal interaction with the individual. So the number to call in if you have a ghost story and want to talk about an experience you've had is 1-877-876-5227. Again, 1-877-876-5227. And if you want to make a comment or you have some subject you would like to see on the air, please email me at www.angelscribe.com for any comments or subjects you want to see. I think that we are very fortunate that more parapsychology studies are happening so that we are getting more answers to our questions about hauntings. It's interesting from my perspective because when I was a kid, I used to talk to the Shining people. Now, I just thought they were another race because my mother and father had black friends, you know, Chinese friends and everything, so my mother had explained them were different races. So when I used to talk to the Shining people, I thought they were another race, and it took me a while to find out they were ghosts. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Is it Atira?
It is Atira. Hi. What's your name?
You?
Where are you calling from?
My name is Joe. I'm calling from New York.
Hello, Joe from New York. What's up?
A very funny or very strange experience about 6 years ago after reading The Messengers on a Sunday night, very late. I was in a deep sleep, and I thought my dog had barked, woke me up, and the clock said 4:44 in the room. And this has been happening to me for dozens of times since then. And I was wondering what your insights were on that.
Well, I really believe that angels and guides and masters will use any means to get our attention. Now, I really believe, because I was involved when The Messenger was written,
right.
And I believe that that book was really written and guided by angels to help make people become aware. And I really believe that if you're seeing 444s, it really is to say, to try and get you to wake up, to get that you have a whole army of angels that are waiting for you to invoke them to help you in your life. And so I really find people who have those kind of repeat experiences, you're not haunted, but that it is an angelic experience saying, if you want help, we're here for you. So all you got to do is ask them to be part of your life. It's a permission thing. You know, it's the, they will never impede on our free will. So you have to go, okay, dear angels, guides, masters, help me. And so I really believe people who are woke up at the 444, it really does have to do with angelic encounters.
It's fascinating.
It is fascinating. And I found out, I really feel for that particular book in particular, it really affected men in a powerful way.
Oh, yes.
His story, because he was a very strong, I mean, incredibly strong personality,
right,
and businessman, for him to get, you know, really believe in this, Spirit had to do over and over and over.
It was
almost like the poor angels are going to be featherless by the time he was done, because he wanted, you know, prove it again and again.
Right.
That male, bright brain, you know, scientific person. And so the gift in his book was that he had done a lot of scientific research for you, that he had had enough personal experience to have, you know, the courage to write a book, to be in a book like that.
Yes, it was great.
It's powerful. So enjoy your 444s. They're
Thank
blessings.
You,
yeah, ask for more.
Okay.
2007 is the year to ask for more. This is going to be a very powerful year. It's a careful what you wish for, you can get it. That's why I believe that DVD that's out, The Secret, is so important.
Right.
Thanks,
Thank
Joe,
you very
for calling
much.
In. Blessings.
Bye.
I really do believe that Spirit will get in touch with us, or try and get in touch with us, by every means possible. And so whether it's an angel or guide or spirit or ghost, I really think it's important to pay attention to those experiences. Now, if you read much about spiritualism, I mean, their whole doctrine is based on communication with the dead, the life after death. And so certainly they teach some fabulous techniques of communing with spirit. Everybody can do this. I don't think, you know, anybody's the only one or it's unique to anyone. I think that some people just practice it more or take it in as their belief system so it becomes stronger. But really, truly, everyone has the opportunity to commune with spirit. And interesting things, if you start looking under parapsychology and paranormal on the Internet, which is, you know, I love the Internet. I'm so ignorant of it. But, boy, when you can get in there and surf it, it's like the, you know, ancient library of Alexandria opens up for you. And on there, there's some wonderful documentation of spirit photos, which I think are phenomenal right now. I just took some out at Milton Spiritualist Camp here in Milton, Washington. There's a 106-year-old spiritualist camp. And there is definite apparitions. I mean, we have definite, like, smoke or ectoplasm look. Three different cameras, so we know it's not the camera. We've seen orbs, which I think can be orbs of energy, and then there are different kinds of orbs that are entity orbs. So I think it's a fascinating study of what is. There's so much to this that we could talk forever on the subject, because experiences are amazing. Now, one of the things that I've always asked when people ask me about hauntings or possessions, can a negative energy or can someone hex me or put a bad spirit on me? Well, the truth is the law of attraction, like attracts like. So if you are in a negative state, I think you certainly can open yourself up for negative attachments. That's one thing I talk about, alcohol being called spirits. And I think it was given that name because I do think you open up with spirits and drugs, you let go of your control to some extent. You abandon yourself. And when you do that, I think you can open yourself up to negative things. Negative. If someone was a dyed-in-the-wool alcoholic here and they pass over, they may hang around bars because they're still attracted to the addiction. So they may be waiting for somebody to invite them in so they can experience that euphoria of alcoholism again. Now, that does not mean that they're attached to you forever. They may be only attached to you in that stuporous moment, or you may have to ask them to leave. I've had many, many clients will say, well, you know, I think something attached to me, blah, blah, blah. And we'll go through the motions of cutting the cords, asking it to leave. And I just did a clearing long distance on a house. And it was that there was a lot of negative emotions. There was a lot of bad, not so great memories for the person, but also the person who passed over was very attached, very controlling, you know, didn't want to give up the ghost, so to speak. So sometimes it's asking permission, giving them white light, praying for anybody, anybody that's passed, a prayer is a cosmic hug, and it helps people move on. So if you're having an experience that, you know, you feel haunted, you know, pray. Ask white light to be surrounded. Ask them to leave. Absolutely. Usually they always have to leave. I have never had an experience where they would not leave. Now, that's only my experience. I'm sure there are other people who have had different experiences. And if in doubt and you feel like you cannot handle it yourself, ask for help. There are some very good professionals. Do your homework. Don't just call 1-800 get rid of the ghost woo-woo thing out of the yellow pages or 1-800 psychic. Really seek about professionalism. Check with some parapsychology universities there's absolutely a lot of Ghostbusters and parapsychology things and things like the Ghost Whisperers. There's web pages that you can get onto on the internet that are very, very important to check out and get as professional a help as you can if you do not feel like you can take care of it yourself. I think sometimes, you know, we add to it because we're too ghost, too close, too ghost. That wasn't a Freudian slip. Too close. It's not a bad thing or a good thing. We're just too close to it. The Society of Psychic Research, which you can find on the web, I know, they have things that will, you know, people they'll refer you to and tools to help you deal with it if you feel like you can't deal with it yourself. I think there are other people like me who are fascinated about the experience. I am fascinated to go with, like a team of the Ghost Whisperers, to some place and see paranormal experiences with other people, because I would like somebody else to see some of the things I see or have documentable proof that the chair moved across the room, you know, or that did everybody hear that whisper I heard, you know. So I think part of my curiosity is to prove I'm not nuts, probably, after all these years, but to know that there are things that can document it. One of the reasons I really wanted to talk to and see the Ghost Whisperers working in a real-life setting, which was, by the way, the Stonehouse Restaurant in Redmond, Washington. So if you get the chance to go visit the Stonehouse Restaurant, it's exciting because there is certainly paranormal activity there. It's fascinating to me because I think that as a medium, and I would encourage anyone who's into learning mediumship or psychic work to start learning about these tools, because it gives a scientific validity, and only through documentation can we start taking this profession into a more credible state of being. And it's really, you know, anyone who's doing readings, anyone who's doing spiritual work, credibility is very important. There's too many 1-800 fakes out there. And so the more we can use this kind of science to start documenting things that are going on, I actually really wanted to understand the EMF meter, electromagnetic field meter, because I would like to take it into a seance setting to see when the room has chills, are we also getting electromagnetic reading. I also wanted a thermometer type thing, the electrical thermometer readings, to see when all of a sudden the room went cold, did it really go cold? Is there documentable proof to coincide with what our senses are telling us? So it's important to learn all this information. I also think that the equipment they have with now this infrared, where they can see, because they, you know, in theory, when a apparition is formed, it is drawing on the electromagnetic field and the energy of those people around it. When a manifestation in a seance room happens, and we have an apparition form, it's believed that they are drawing on the ectoplasm, etheric energy, of our physical, of the humans gathered there, physical body, to help that spirit manifest. So if that was true, the apparition, the manifestation of the apparition, under an infrared camera would show warmth. And so that would be an interesting documentation to experience that. Just like they're beginning to use infrared cameras to show when healers are doing healing and also Kielian photography to show that there is energy emitted when the hands are doing healing. There are already also doing documentation that when people are in prayer, the energy, or they're showing that the energy expands around the person during the experience. So all of this now technical equipment that may have been developed for totally other things can be used to start really documenting and bringing parapsychology, the science of parapsychology, into a very well-documented and understanding experience. But it does take everybody to participate. So if you're out there listening and you've had an experience or you have a house that you feel is haunted, you know, be open to having some of these people come in and do a documentation on your place. I think the more you do, you know, set up your own recorder, set up your own video cameras, take pictures. You'd be surprised what you catch on film. Just not too long ago, a client sent me a picture, and they were actually taking a picture of their toddler in one of those little round things where you put your kid in and so they can walk, and they walk around in its little round thing, and they're taking a picture of their child in that. And in behind them is a TV set. The TV set's turned off, but in the screen is an absolute full-blown picture of the grandparents, one of the grandparents. Fascinating. And they, you know, looked around to see, could the, you know, flash of the camera be reflecting off another photo or what? There was absolutely no photo of the grandparent in the room. Nobody could explain it. Fabulous documentation. Interesting experience. So, plus, I think, too, I have had an experience. Many of you know I lost one of my favorite cats, my gray Persian named Mush-Mush. And I was very, very devastated, crying mess for a long time. And after about 30 days, I was in my room, and I felt something go and walk across my coverlet. And I flipped on the light because all of a sudden I got excited, you know, for that moment. I forgot that she was missing. And I was so sure I was going to see her sitting there. And literally, I know she came in spirit because it walked right across my bed, curled up exactly where she curled up, and I knew that she was just telling me she was okay. So certainly animals do communicate with us and come back. Actually, there's an incredible animal communicator, Agnes, is an incredible animal communicator. If you're interested in animal communication, Agnes Thomas, you can check her out on my website at www.angelscribe.com. So, you know, we can have experiences of spiritual encounters, and they come in so many forms. In the opportunity of learning a little bit more about seance, we have had manifestations of little sparks of light, and I think often when people begin to develop and they're trying to learn to see spirit, you will see sparks, little sparks, almost like sparklers, in the vision that is off to the side, like your peripheral vision. And the minute you turn to look, it's gone. But it is absolutely how we begin to see spirit, because the truth is we need to see spirit with our spiritual eyes, with a vision that is a little different vibration than our physical eyes. So often when people are trying to learn to see spirit, I really tell them, look beyond something. Look like you're, you know, get that look like when you were a kid and you were in class and you were bored and all of a sudden you're looking out the window and all of a sudden you're gone. You're not in that room. You're not out there. You're just gone. That kind of vision is when we start seeing spirits and seeing more apparitions. Many, many people, especially wives and husbands that have lost their significant others that have been, you know, married or had an intense love for a long time, they will have a visitation within 3 to 4 days after the passing of their loved ones. They will feel like they came in and sat down on the bed. They might see him in a doorway. Ted Andrews talks about between places, and one of the places that is a between place is a doorway, like a door jam, a closet door between those places. And it's almost like that creates, that structure kind of creates a doorway or a vortex for spirit to kind of manifest and easily flow through. So, again, if anybody else has any questions or stories about hauntings, the number is 1-877-876-5227. Now, sometimes when spirits come to, they're trying to let you know that that they weren't in pain, that they're okay. Sometimes they come and they're trying to finish unfinished business. Perhaps they didn't make peace with everybody. Perhaps they're so addicted. Now, I had this one person who kept having this visitation from their husband, but it was all about business, and it was just, it upset her terribly because she wanted it to be very, very personal. But this person turned out to be very much a workaholic. So it wasn't that he didn't love his wife and didn't want her to know that he's okay, but he felt like he left so much undone. He was still trying to facilitate closure of things so his family would be more okay. And so all of her dreams, all of her ways that she saw him and saw manifestation was all about work, and she was totally offended about it. Rather than understanding, he's still trying to facilitate having things in order for the family to have good closure. The minute she said and helped him understand that all the paperwork was in order, everything was settled, his visitations totally turned to personal visitations and less stressful for him and her. And so many, many times you may have a visitation or a dream about the person. You may have, like, often the lights will really have a flick or phones will make noises. It's interesting that when I was at a friend of mine's, Lori's, house, and I had been asked about someone the day before who had passed, but it corded. Sometimes when you are helping somebody else who's passed, they will cord, just like on John Edwards, to another person. So when I went to her house, all of a sudden we were getting cold spots. The computer wouldn't work. Her daughter's alarm clock, I mean, she must have shut the alarm clock off 4 times before she unplugged it, and it still went off, which is very spooky because in your mind you're going, it couldn't possibly go off because electricity's not connected to it. But electromagnetic electricity can certainly affect objects as well. That's why chairs can move. They can move chairs. They can move many, many things. In fact, in communicating with spirit, one of the things they talk about, if you want to communicate with spirits, to use wood because it's natural conductive, or metal can conduct it, so you can have a better chance of communicating with spirits. Excuse me. So we were at Lori's house, and we were having all this manifestation. And unfortunately, she's a very good friend, but she's gone, this is a little too spooky even for me. But we did figure out that this person actually used my being there as a window of opportunity to communicate with her dad, Lori's dad, because her dad had just lost one of his best childhood friends. So it kind of just used the window of opportunity to try and get our attention. And it used every means. I mean, it was almost obsessive until I said, okay. Because we were busy doing other things, so I was trying to go, yeah, I'm off duty here. But as soon as was cold. I mean, we could see our breaths. That's how cold the room got. The computer electronics wouldn't work. The alarm clock going off. So finally when I said, okay, Spirit, I give up, Uncle. I will, tell me what I need to hear, and I'll convey it. As soon as I did that, as soon as we started getting the communication that this entity wanted to give for her dad, the room got warm, the computer started working because we were using the computer for the project we were working on. So everything went back to a normal, and the message that we got, she did give to her dad, it was exactly questions that he had had for this entity. So sometimes, if you think you're being haunted, you had an encounter with a spirit, ask it. Say, I'm not giving you permission to be in my energy space if I'm afraid. I refuse for that to happen. But, what do you need to tell me? Sometimes what do you need to tell me is all you have to ask. And you'll get something, and then you can help that person be at rest. In the movie, went right out of my brain, that we were talking about earlier with a little kid, the psychologist says maybe you just need to now ask them what they want. And once he asked them, then he could help solve what was keeping them coming back. So so that they could be released. And the reason they were appearing to him is because he was open to it. He was on the right vibration. And so sometimes when you have an encounter, it is because you are there in the right vibration at the right moment, and you have an open mind about this kind of contact. Most of the time, I find spirits don't just go willy-nilly out there to scare people. Now, I would not say that it doesn't happen, but I'd say it most of the time it doesn't happen. You know, I think just like there are people who are really caught up in ghoulish things here, and perhaps practice, you know, like to go to scary movies and love all that gruesome stuff. They get some kind of thrill out of it. Now, their spirit might like to go around and do that, but it really, truly is not the norm. It is not the way spirits are. Most spirits are really going towards having peace in this world and the world hereafter. They're not coming here just for the thrill of pushing our buttons. Although, I think people who are caught up in habitual fear can attract that, can attract being made afraid more. Because, unfortunately, again, that whole law of attraction that's so in our face right now with the book and the DVD of The Secret, like attract like, whether we want to believe it or not, it's true. So if you're afraid of ghosts, you really want to work on not being afraid, not calling that to you. Because it will certainly, they'll be attracted by the fear if they are attracted to that kind of energy. But again, use white light, prayer, all the means to let go of that negativity. And really know that most of the time, especially for passed over relatives, family, they're coming back to see how you're doing. They zoom in and around us, but they don't just hang out down here. They've got a whole new cosmic job description. They're over there doing their own cosmic learning, moving forward and growing. They come back because they want you to know that they love you. They come back to share information, to see how you're doing. That's why when you see John Edwards, John Holland, James Van Praagh, all of them communicate, and they'll say, oh, you rearranged your files. Oh, you're painting. Oh, you're doing this or that. That spirit knows what you're doing, but they don't hang around just to be hanging out with you anymore. Their cosmic job description has moved them into a different vibration and sphere. And they're busy. It doesn't mean they don't love you. It just means, like, you're busy. When you get busy in your life, you may not call your friends or check in on everybody. And it's not because you don't love them. It's just because you got busy. You got distracted. So I hope by next week to have the opportunity to have the professionals here so we can ask them. So, you know, get out a piece of paper and pen and write down some great questions to ask them. Because I think that they are an amazing, they've been doing this, I think he said, 2 or 3 years. I'm sure they'll have a lot of experiences to share with us. And if you have something going on in your house, your job, wherever it may be, you know, people have said, oh, well, I bought an automobile and it feels like somebody's in the car with me. I think people can be attached to things. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty attached to some of my stuff. My Shankari jewelry, I'm pretty attached to that. Whoever inherits that's going to probably feel me checking by now and then, saying, I missed that ring in the etheric. I guess I better manifest one. So I hope you've enjoyed the show today, got some answers, probably got some more questions. But the goal of my show every week is to teach in some form about spirituality. So if you have ideas for the show, you have things that you are people you'd like interviewed, please email me at www.angelscribe.com. And until next week, make sure that you let your heart light shine to light your way and the way for others. And remember to be wrapped in the wings of angels.